Father, we just thank you for the word and your faithfulness to us and your provisions and blessings. And we just pray, Father, that our faith would grow and get stronger. And we pray, Father, that we might all fulfill your will for our lives. For we thank you and pray in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, Philippians chapter 3, Clint. Yeah. Brain functions are coming back. This passage I held on to for the last week. Every day, all day, every time a negative thought or anything bordering negative came into my brain, I repeat this over and over to myself. One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, I press forward to what lies ahead, kind of shorten it up. And every day, I had to force myself to forget the things that lie behind. Good, bad, or indifferent doesn't make a difference. They're all behind us. They're in our rear view mirrors. It's water under the bridge. It's part of life that we've gone through, but it's over. It's gone, and we'll never get that back. The only thing that's left is pressing forward to what lies ahead in the plan of God for our lives. And we only have today. In fact, I taught a series called Today. You only have today. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow is not here. There's a past, a present, and a future. We have grammar in English that denotes those concepts. And it takes sometimes a great deal of effort to forget the things that lie behind. Sometimes you'll have to have a little talk with yourself. By the way, my ministry is not just about academics. It's about application. It doesn't do us a bit of good to learn these things if we don't apply them. I'm trying to coach you, train you, to learn how to apply things in your life. And this, I mean, girls or guys we've loved, you know, as believers, and nothing ever came out of it, it's gone. The life that you could have had or should have had and would have had, that's gone too. See? All you have is today. We don't want to live in tomorrow, because that's what about anxiety and fear and apprehension is about. We don't want to live in the past, because that's what regret is about. Frank Sinatra had a great song about the regrets. I've had a few. And we all will have regrets in life. But hey, that's in the past. And as long as we don't live in the past, it can't affect us in the present or the future. And this is why if you ever read a book, and I'm sure you've all read books, at the end of a sentence is a what? Period. And you've got to learn to put periods in your life. You've got to learn to look at life as a book. You have sentences, you have periods, and then you have the end of the chapter. And that chapter is gone. You open it, turn the page, and you've got a new chapter in life. We've got to learn to start thinking like that. Because if we're living in the past, we get depression and we get regrets. We get guilt feelings and all the rest of it. if we live in the future, we've got anxiety and apprehension. So all we have from God today is what? The present, right now. Another way of looking at it, and I'm giving you applications I've used in my life. Any of you have a backyard in your house? And I'm sure you, at one time or another in your life, you had a place that had a backyard. And what circles the backyard? The fence. So live in your yard today. You have a fence on one side is the past. You have a fence on the other side is the future. Don't go over there looking over and seeing what's going to happen in the future. You can't control the future. And by the way, this is all applicable teaching. You can't control the future at all. I mean, the past is already dead and gone. All you can do is live in the present, and the only control that you have is how you handle it. You can't, the pressures in life are going to hit you. You're going to suffer. And I know all of you, and you have suffered physically, emotionally, socially, family, friends, all the rest of that stuff. Excuse me. And you can't help what happens to you. Only that you know that God controls what happens to you. Now, it won't happen to you if you don't have the faith. So God knows that you have the faith. So what do you have to do with that? Use it. Use your faith. Use also the idea of positive mental attitude. Look, bad things happen in life to us. We can't control that. But there's always a positive turn on everything you look at. And what we've got to learn to do is look at the positive things. Where the ox is gone, the stall is clean. Well, that's a thing right there. The ox is gone, the stall is clean. And now that means you don't have to muck it out every day. But it also means you're going to have to plow the field with your body instead of using him. So try to look at the positive side of life. I'm alive. You're alive. Do you have anybody that loves you? We have people who love us. We're not alone in this world. And besides, we have one who sticks with us every step of the way. I mean, that's the thing that we've all got to remember. Something I had to remind myself of constantly with the past few months of suffering. He didn't abandon me. Now, for a long time, I was wondering if God had abandoned me. And I started looking around, seeing what happened to me, what provisions had been provided for me. I thought, no. I was just going through a period of time. Have you ever thought that if God actually loved you, or if he knew you existed? We go through these things, but then we see the little things. We see God working in the periphery of our lives. And that just shows you he hasn't abandoned you. And he has provisions for everything that we go through. And what we're left with is we have to look for them and use them in our lives. Now, with Paul, verse 12, not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. This shows that the Father has a plan for our lives. He sees us as this person. I got my eyes closed. The person that he created inside of you. That's how he sees us. That's the goal he has for our lives, to have Christ formed in me so that, remember, we're all in union with Christ. We're all one with him, every bit of us. And when he created you anew, when you believed on Christ, he regenerated you on the inside, and he created an entirely different new man, not the Mike Phillips or whoever you are called. Our parents gave us that moniker, and we were kind of patterned in the flesh after our moms and dads, right? We're formed physically like them, but that's not what the Father did. The Father created somebody new, entirely different from every human on earth and every angel in heaven. You are a unique individual. There's no one like you. And that's on the inside, that which we cannot see. We're not there yet. I mean, here's the goal, here's who we are, and here's where we are down here, and we're moving up to what he has done. It's like, the best way I can explain it is becoming who you are. Think about that for a while. Becoming who you are. Who are we? We are, tell me, who are we? That's it. We are the new creation in Christ. That's the mold, that's the model inside of us. And our spiritual growth is becoming less of a physical me, the outer me, but becoming the inner me, the ego and emoi, the I in me. The I is the born again Mike Phillips. Entirely different. Same way with each one of you. So that's the goal that Paul's talking about here. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and pressing forward to what lies ahead. That's it. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I mean, God has got millions of us. Who knows how many of us he's made? We're the little Christ people. We're called Christ people because inside of us is Christ being formed in us. And one day we will all be together in union, shouting the praises of God. Each one of us is going to be like a star, our own star, own color, radiance, glory, beauty. That's what's inside of us. And we will shine like that for all of eternity. So you want to know who you're going to be? You're going to be that guy or gal that God created inside of you. That's us. So what do we do? Well, Paul had some failures. He's one of the greatest Christians that ever lived. But he failed at times. He went through trials and sufferings and horrible things in life. He was beaten, shipwrecked, and all these terrible things. But here's what he says, this one thing. What's that mean to you, this one thing? Well, it means your whole focus in life are these two ideas. Forgetting what lies behind, I press forward to what lies ahead. Now, I've repeated I have no idea how many times, sometimes like every minute, to get my mind off of what I was going through. You see, like Linda and I were talking before class, when you break a toe or cut your toe, that's all you can think of is that darn toe, right? When you're suffering in your body, whether you have pain or something genetically wrong with you, that's all you think about. It's natural. And if you don't believe me, when you go home, take out a hammer and hit your thumb. And then guess what you're going to be thinking about? How stupid you were. Not going to apply that. So you've got to repeat these promises over and over, this teaching, this doctrine. You got to repeat it over and over in your mind. I was going through it this past week, and then all of a sudden I'm remembering the Greek, because I gave you the Greek on it. Epictimno, and the other was epilanthano, I believe, epilanthano. And the Greek starts coming back, and then you start thinking about it. When you go through a lot of repetition, if you've been through the class, it's going to trigger, you remember different parts of the teaching. And this one is very important. Epictino is the intensive use, and it's a present participle. So what have we learned about the present participle? Ongoing activity, way of life, daily practice. You work for a living, present participle, raising kids, all of these different things like eating and drinking and breathing are all present participles. They're things that we do all the time. And this word forgetting is a present participle, right? So how often do we have to be forgetting? Every day. Every day. The good times you had in life, you got to forget them. I mean, it's nice if they encourage you. The intensive use tells us what? How hard it will be. Sometimes it's going to be really difficult. You go through a divorce. Well, you got to forget it. You got to accept the fact that you're divorced. She didn't want you, you didn't want her, whatever it is, who cares? And you have to learn to forget it. The successes in life, sometimes they can be an encouragement to go on to bigger and better things, but you have to forget them. You can't rest today on your laurels because of past victories. Only you have today. Remember that. You only have today. And yesterday doesn't carry the day. So you have to learn to forget it. As they say, in the restaurant business, you're only as good as your last meal. That's what people remember. If it's a bad meal, they won't come back. So they have to concentrate each and every day on turning out good meals, don't they? Same with a song. What's the name of that long-haired guy? Billy Ray Cyrus, remember him? Achy Breaky Heart, that's what he sang. It was a big hit. But he only produced one good song, Achy Breaky Heart. So he was resting on yesterday's laurels, the money he made off of that record. It won't carry the day. So forgetting what lies behind, we have to learn to do this as a practice. And I've been fairly good at it over the last decade or two, I don't know. But when you get hit with so much suffering, it's like, Now you're doing something else. You're focused on a pain or a problem, and that won't help us. We can't do that. So forgetting what lies behind is a daily practice. And by the way, there's that word, there's a couple of Greek words in there, men opiso. That deals, the things, men opiso, deal with usually personal relationships. And you'll have people come in your life and leave. You'll have people come in your life, you become great friends with them, and they leave. It's all the same. You have to forget the personal relationships that we've had in our lives. Family, parents, you can think of them, you know, as treasured people in your life, but they're not here anymore. It's just you. When my mother died, and the standard practice when I was a kid, that on Memorial Day, families would go to the graves of their loved ones, put some flowers down, think about them for a little bit, and then go back home for the rest of the year. It was just a way of remembrance, showing respect. But they didn't live with that trauma every day of their lives. You have a life to live. You have places to go. You have people you care about now. That's where your focus needs to be. Now, it's healthy to live in today, this present time, because that's all that you have from God. In my mind, I had a guy walking a path, a little stick figure going like this, but all the pixels fell off behind him. So there was nothing behind him. The path only was in front of him. And that's where we got to learn to walk that path that God has placed in our lives. And there's Greek words for that. It's in the New Testament and the Old Testament as well. The path that God has for us. And our journey in life, and that's another Greek biblical word, this journey, your journey, is to walk on the path that God has laid out for you. And you walk on this path in your journey in life with the eyes of faith. And they're moving forward. It said of the Lord in Isaiah 53, I believe it is, he set his face like flint. Flint is the sharpest subject known to man. It's sharper than a surgeon's scalpel. And that shows unwavering, cutting through everything in life to accomplish the Father's plan for his life. And that's why he went to the cross. He didn't want to go to the cross. What did he tell the Father? If it be from me, take it. Take it away from me. Who wants to go and hang on a cross? But he saw it was the Father's will. And he went forward in it. Unwavering, unflinching faith. His will was set like flint, and he went forward all the way to the cross. But that's our Hebrew word, galal. Remember that old Hebrew word, galal? It's a stone that you rolled, one of those round stones that you rolled. Oh, I can use a wagon wheel if you want. But it's a furrow in the ground. It leaves a little rut. The significance is you make a decision here on point A, and you're down the road in point Y, and you can see where that decision has carried you to this day. Every one of you here today got a galal. And the galal is the day, that time, the moment that you decided to believe on Christ, and you did. I set that stone a rolling. And 10, 20, 40, 50 years, whatever it is, later, you're here and you're still making that rut of faith on your positive decisions for Christ. See that? And Christ had a galal. Day he walked out the front door and opened up the gate and walked out to the Jordan River to get baptized. That's the day that he consciously, publicly took his stand for his Father. But that galal took him right up to the cross, didn't it? That stone kept rolling till he was screaming in agony as he hung there paying the penalty for our sins. You say, well, yeah, Mike, look what happened. It took him up to the cross. Yeah, but that stone didn't stop rolling, did it? It rolled right down into hell. And it was down there for 3 days and three nights. And it rolled right back up to the surface of the earth. And God resurrected him from the dead, raised him from the dead, and gave him a resurrection body. So don't think that your suffering, your faith ends in your suffering. Don't think that. Did it, Christ's faith, in Ephesians and Galatians has a lot to say about his faith. It's because of the faith of Christ that we are saved, the faith of Christ. And his faith kept rolling down into Hades, and it rolled back out. A stone kept rolling up into victory. Victory over the grave, victory over death, and victory for us. That's what it accomplished. And he had this resurrection body. Now, it didn't stop rolling there, did it? That stone kept rolling all the way up to heaven. All the way up the pavilion to God's pantheon, up to where his throne is. He's seated at the right hand of God. So I want you to think of your faith that way. It's rolling, rolling. It's like an old Western song. Rolling on. And keeps rolling. And it'll roll through these trials that we're going through. We're all going through them. And you'll probably have worse ones ahead of you. I sure had them in mine. But that faith keeps us rolling, rolling through the suffering and the misery and the attacks of Satan. It'll keep us rolling right up to heaven. And we will join our Savior up there. We will be seated. We are seated positionally with him right now. Sitting on the throne of God, with Jesus Christ. The throne of who? God. I want you to think about the true definition of galal and of our faith. So, forgetting what lies behind, what do we do next? Pressing forward to what lies ahead. They translated the straining here in the NIV. That's a good one. Because they're taking in the pictorial background of this word. Any of you run track? In high school, did you run track? Really? Nobody ran track here? I wonder if so many of you are overweight. It just used to gall the crap out of me to have a guy pass me when I was running, 440 or whatever it was. And it just ticked me off. And so I would throw out everything I had and try to catch up to him and pass him. Didn't always work that way, but that's what I tried. And when you see the goal line coming across our head, all you can think of is everything is all out. You're holding nothing back, and you'll collapse after you get across the line. That's this word here. What that tells us, and epilanthano is the idea of intensive use as well. So they're both intensive. So what that means is we're going to have to really apply ourselves to get through these trials, to apply ourselves to just press forward. You got it? To press forward, we'll have to exert every fiber of our being to make ourselves think about what God has got in store for me, what I've been grabbed a hold of by Christ. Christ grabbed a hold of us because he's got a plan for our lives. And by the way, I believe in election, that he got you. John 6:37, all that the Father gives me, that's the ones that the Father has given me, will come to me. Not might come to me, but will. Some dragging their heels all the way, but they'll get there. Because he's mandated, he's ordained it. And these are the ones, and we are God the Father's gift to his Son. You say, well, he's not getting much of a gift from me. I'm nobody, I'm no good. It's what he's going to make you into. Don't you see that? He's going to make you into something exactly like him. And that happened the day we got born again. Regenerated, a new man, new woman in Christ. So this is what I hung on to just this past week. And it's probably the reason why I ended up here earlier than I thought. And it's also what I told you about, this little stupid muscle right in here is why I kept falling down. It's why I had to learn to walk. That's so dumb. Walk all over again. And it's the reason why I ended up coming in today instead of a week or two from now, because I started exercising this muscle best I could, and I started walking better and walking better. But it all goes back to pressing forward to what lies ahead. I don't want to sit around in a wheelchair. I don't want to sit around in a walker, although I have to use it right now, but I look at it as temporary. And working these muscles is part of me pressing forward to what lies ahead. You see that? Trying to give me a rundown. But I'm not whining about what I had to go through. I'm teaching you this, training you of what you're going to have to go through one day. You say, no, it won't happen. It'll happen. You get older, stuff gives out. I could buy a brand new Cadillac. Heck, I could buy a brand new Rolls Royce. And they're regarded as the finest cars, well, outside of Ferraris and stuff like that, of quality. But eventually, parts wear out. Alternators wear out, spark plugs wear out, something wears out. And same way with these bodies. These bodies that you have, they're going to wear out. Sometimes we've abused them. But even if you don't abuse them, and I really haven't abused my body, I've tried to take care of it. Blank happens. Things happen. And then something will give out. Jim's leg gave out, didn't it? Your hip? Put a new ball joint in. And you're walking around with a cane. I got a walker. Got canes in the car. And hopefully I'll work my way up to them. Just learning to walk again. It happens. Maybe God allowed this to happen to show that your pastor is vulnerable too, because I have a perishable body. So that's going to end my sermon this morning. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we thank you for the prayers and the love of my church and my family. Thank you for Clint and taking over the pulpit for me. I know it was added pressure. And we just ask for blessings, healing, and strength on our church, Father. We thank you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.